This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's August 28th, 2019. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Yo.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, you can call me at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can also send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. Okay, here we go. Ron's rant of the week. Why can't people be more patient with cyclists? I'm having an impatient cyclist problem right now because we just came from the most incredibly patient place with cyclists in the world, I think, or at least in this country. We just came from Pennsylvania Dutch, the Amish country. And
it was really a great weekend, wasn't it?
It's just that, you know, people, when you throw the idea of a slow-moving vehicle out into the roads, people accept it. They
yes.
get used to it. They accept it. Why do they accept the Amish and their carts, whereas they don't accept us on our bicycles? This is why I'm bringing this up.
Well, I'm just trying to decide if it was just in general a better experience. I mean, I was on so many beautiful roads with like very few cars on them. I mean, this ride put us into like actual towns. We went through some actual towns. I think we're in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, where, you know, we'd have to occasionally cross a main road and occasionally we would go through a suburban neighborhood. But most of the roads were these just gorgeous backcountry roads through rolling farmland with the occasional horse and buggy on it. And it was just spectacular.
Right, right. You know, I've been through this before. If you want to check it out, you can go to Edmunds, which is a car place. It's a place where you go to look for your next new car, your next used car, or whatever. And so they're a car. They have new car pricing, used car pricing, car reviews, that sort of thing. And they have an article that says coexisting with bicycles, 10 rules for drivers. And they go down a list, and I'm going to save this for another time because we have a guest here today, and I don't want to get deep into this. But there's lots of great, great things in here for you to read about understanding, you know, bicycles on the road from a driver's perspective. There's also a link on this that goes over to what the cyclist's responsibility is, because as we know, there are those that are out there on their bicycles that are not as respectful of the roads as they could or should be, as the same with the car. So we do have that thing. But my gripe and my rant of the week is, why can't people just be more patient with cyclists? You know, we're just the point is somebody also I read something recently that you shouldn't be referring to us as cyclists. We should be people on bikes, no longer using the word and the term cyclists,
because that way once you say people.
Yeah.
It's like I was saying.
It humanizes it, right.
Like I was saying last week when that woman was yelling at us, the first thing you should do when you encounter, because we were going to talk about how do you encounter an irate motorist, the first thing you should do is say, "Hi, my name is Fran. I live in Mansfield. What's your name?"
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can take the escalation down a notch when you do that.
Because so. I want you to know I'm a person and I have a name. I'm not just a bike in your way.
Right. Right. So anyway, if you have a comment you want to make on that, please feel free to make a comment on the Facebook page, or you can also send me an email too. On a positive side, okay, this is kind of cool. This weekend we were down in Pennsylvania Dutch land, and we were outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I got a chance to meet Floyd Landis and Dave Zabritsky, which is
me too.
Way cool. If any of you are, you know, avid cyclists and you've been following bicycle racing and the Tour de France and all the other wonderful things that happen in the bicycle racing world, if you're into that, you'll remember that Floyd and Dave were both members of the U.S. Postal Team. And back in the days of Lance Armstrong, not one of my favorite people. Anyway, I met Floyd and Dave, and they both got caught up in the whole bicycle doping thing. It was really, really messy. And it's very unfortunate. Floyd grew up in just outside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and these were the roads that he used to ride on and train on.
Well, I think it's in Lancaster County, but he grew up in the town of East Earl in the village
That's
of Farmingville.
It. Right, right. There you go.
I was there.
So anyway, what Floyd has done since all of this is he has, I believe he said he had some partners involved, but he has a business which is called Floyd's of Leadville.
Yeah.
And Floyd's of Leadville, and we mentioned this on Fran's show earlier, makes CBD products. So
aimed at athletes.
Aimed at, you know, pain relief for athletes and performance.
And recovery and performance and reducing inflammation. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So it was kind of cool. And then, of course, I'm standing there talking to them. And then it's like Dave Zabriskie's right there, too. And Dave, when he went to his first Tour de France, it was the prologue day was time trial, which is often the case with the Tour de France. And Dave... he won the Tour de France prologue, and he was wearing the yellow jersey afterwards. So both of these gentlemen have worn the yellow jersey, which is kind of a cool thing. And they're like totally like low key, laid back, nice guys. You know, not very unassuming, I would say. So it was just really cool to be able to hang out with them.
I got a selfie with Floyd.
Fran got a selfie with Floyd. You should post that on the Bike School Talk Facebook page.
Okay.
You need to put that up
there.
Okay,
I'll do that.
Okay, do that for me. Okay. So anyway, that was a cool thing. That's on the positive side. It's great when I see cyclists that, you know, were doing high-level cycling for many years and now they're giving back to the sport or they found a way to connect to the sport, and it's just kind of a neat thing. So the maintenance minute. Okay. This is kind of an interesting thing. I was poking around and looking at all these commuting pages and all, and there's a great link here that I found, which is why every cyclist needs a pool noodle. Now, pool noodles are obviously something we would use in the water, pool noodle, right? But they just happen to be long enough that if you attach them on the back of your bicycle, this is if you're a commuter, I would say, primarily. Or if you're cycle touring or something like that, there's a great picture here of this person who's got full panniers on the bike and is obviously on a cycle tour and has a pool noodle strapped on the back of the rack of the bicycle. So why a pool noodle? Because you can position it out so it's 3 feet away from you. So if a car comes up or a truck comes up next to you and gets too close, they're going to hit the noodle. And it's going to give them a visual object to look at that lets them know that, ooh, don't want to hit the noodle. You know, don't want to hit the noodle.
And if they do, it's not going to hurt their
car.
And if
they do, it doesn't hurt their car.
Kyone Wolf does that.
Does she use a, yeah? Shout out to Kyone and Hartford.
She's into the pool noodle. Yeah.
The pool noodle is a cool thing. So the maintenance minute is about, you know, if you are a serious commuter and you're spending a lot of time on your bike and you're in a lot of traffic, consider putting a pool noodle on the back of your rack, and you'll find that the cars will give you a little bit more space. So that's my maintenance minute this week, and that will move us on. I just thought it was a clever and cool thing. And that will move us on to our guest, and I have a guest here today. And today joining us is, move this back down here so I get everything in line. My guest is Mike Nugent, and he is from Nerac Earth Cycling Club. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Ron.
Okay, this is great. So the reason I have Mike on is that in 2 weeks we have the Ashford Gravel Grinder coming up, and I've had the folks from Near Eck Earth on every year so far, and just trying to promote it and talk a little bit about gravel grinding and everything that is going on with your group. And I believe you have a bunch of things you can tell me about it. But first of all, because you're a new guest on the show, because I've already queried your friends and your wife and others, I need to ask you the question: What can you tell me about remembering your very first experience of being on a bicycle?
Well, I have two different experiences. One that I can't say I remember directly, but there's pictures of, and it's from the 70s, and me wearing this god awful, you know, wide collar shirt on Easter Sunday with this big orange bicycle that I don't even ever remember riding. But that's just a picture that we have hanging up at home. You know, I'm probably the same as most kids from that time period. We had a Huffy, and it was just a generic thing, and we rode everywhere with it. We went to school. We escaped into the house and the parents and the neighborhood and school and everything on it, and had that bike forever until it finally broke, or I outgrew it.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great. Bikes are great. You know, when you're a kid, I mean, we all rode our bikes when we were kids.
Yeah.
It'll come back. It'll come back. I know it'll come back. I'm a little disappointed in parents and youth cycling right now, but we have a lot of positive things going on here in the state of Connecticut. But it's really there's been a detachment from that. But you know, those are we all remember the first time on a bicycle. It's just, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. So very good. So we would like to talk a little bit about why you are here today, and a little bit about Near Eck Earth and the ride that's coming up. And I'm going to let you take the mic and go.
Well, you know, Near Eck Earth is a bike club that started. There's a little debate over when it actually, the conception of it really was, depending on who you ask, but. It started out of a company called NERAC, which is down here in Tallinn on the causeway between Yukon and Route 84. It's been a fixture there for quite a long time. You know, they've in one way or another supported cycling in the area, whether it be the Route 66 mountain bike series. They were a prime sponsor of that for years, helping out with the Channel 3 Country Camp race, mountain bike racing.
Mm-hmm.
They've sponsored, you know, recreational riders. They've sponsored a pro team at one point. And then we moved into more of a fundraising event, you know, to kind of help, you know, bring money in for us to manage the club throughout the year and send people to events and support other events in the area. So they've been around 20 years.
Yeah.
18, 19, 20, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, you guys are great. You know, I see you at a lot of events. I see you at the Steeplechase Bike Tour. We see you at the Tour de Mansfield. There's definitely a number of people that come in and do the rides. Mm-hmm. So it's totally cool. So this Ashford gravel grinder, if I remember correctly, it used to not be an off-roadish or gravel roadish event, right?
Right. When we started doing these events, gravel grinding really didn't exist. You rode the bike you had on whatever road you ended up on. So mainly we had a road ride.
Mm-hmm.
And we would ride out of the Ashford Elementary School. We had various distances up to a century. And there were dirt roads on the course, but nobody knew anything. Nobody knew to call it anything other than a road ride.
I ride on dirt roads all the time.
Right.
I, you know, they don't bother me or offend me or anything. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden it's become a trendy thing, which mm-hmm. I find mildly humorous, but that's what it is. But
so I would say about 3-4 years ago, a few of us kind of ventured into the gravel grinding scene, picked up some bikes with wider tires and started, you know, joining some of these other events that are around New England. And then we said, hey, why don't we give it a try around here, Connecticut, and the Quiet Corner has great dirt roads. There's dirt roads everywhere if you look for them.
You got to look for them,
yep.
But they are great. There are some exceptional dirt roads. I have one that we put on, we have two actually, on the 100-mile Steeplechase Bike Tour. And the first one is very, very short, and, you know, so it's barely anything to really look at. But the second one is Boston Hollow Road, which goes for a ways, because I think you guys use Boston Hollow.
You'll be happy to hear Boston Hollow is on the course and headed in the right direction.
Oh, you're heading downhill on it.
Downhill,
yeah. Yeah, it's surprisingly easy even in the other direction, but it's still, yeah, going from west to east is definitely the preferable direction to go on that one. Yeah, I love that road. It's and that road, quite honestly, that road is probably in better condition than some of the paved roads in the area. You know, it's really well maintained, and I don't know if it's because it's so lightly used or what the deal is on it, but it's in great shape.
It's actually quite a busy road. There's a lot of people that cut through from Eastford to get
oh, really?
To the highway. So yeah, there's quite a bit of traffic on it.
That's I didn't realize that. Maybe that's why it's so mashed down, because it's really packed down pretty hard, and it seems like they do a pretty good job of keeping it maintained. Are you going to use Kenny Hollow Road also?
Nope, not this year.
We've got
a whole new plan.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm excited. Yeah. I am hoping that I will have time off to do it this year, because I'd really like to join in. I know Fran is definitely looking at it now, because there are some options that didn't exist earlier, but... yeah, I mean, to me, it's my world. I love dirt roads. You know, I can't find enough of them, and I have found some dirt roads. I go back to the days of, we had topo maps on the walls of our apartment back a bunch of cyclists. I shared an apartment with a bunch of cyclists, and we had topo maps on the wall, and we just kind of look at them and go, I wonder where that one goes. I wonder where that goes. And you just kind of go out and explore. And I remember exploring a road up in Woodstock that, you know, started out paved and then it became a dirt road. And I went, okay, well, this is good. And then it became a path in the woods. And at that point, I was committed. So I stayed on the path in the woods. And then it turned back into a dirt road and back into a paved road. And that was that. It didn't really connect, even though it showed that it did on the map. But that's like, that's fun. That's why you ride a bike. It's find cool things like that.
I took a similar approach, sort of. You know, it's pretty time consuming to drive around and or ride around and find dirt roads that are going to stretch you out 60, 70 miles. So the DOT actually publishes road surface maps for all the towns in Connecticut.
They do?
Color coded. You can download it from, from ct.gov and.
Oh, no kidding.
Where all the dirt roads are, and if they're public roads, they're on the map.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll have to share that with me. That's very interesting. I want to know that, because I would love to put together a few more of these, you know, just for, because we do weekly rides out of the Thread City Cyclers. We do our weekly rides, and I'm hoping to commandeer a bunch of people that would normally have been doing the Saturday morning ride and coming and joining in to the Ashford Gravel Grinder, because, you know, then we can bring some numbers into you guys and all. But and we have a number of people that have cyclocross bikes or gravel grinding bikes that they could use. So, but you don't necessarily need one of those, do you?
Not this time.
Not this time. I heard about last year.
I'd say, you know, it's been an experiment, we'll say. You know, it's tough to please every single person that shows up. Different people have different expectations and familiarities and what they like and don't like. The first couple of years, we tried some, we'll call it difficult roads up in Stafford, and that mm-hmm. South Road is kind of a road covered in golf balls. You know, it wasn't a popular road.
It's a good way to put it.
Last year, we experimented with some single track, and it was...
That would be Axe Factory Road, probably.
Well, Axe Factory is a little double track, but down here in the Yukon Forest, there was a stretch we tried, and...
Oh, I know where you were.
I did not do very well on it.
Fran had some objection to it, but that's okay.
I didn't get hurt, but like my group, you know, I was on the lead ride with a lovely man, two great guys, Todd Pezzalesi and John Stockman?
Stockford,
yeah. Yes. They were a hoot, and they were really patient with us. They were super nice. And a lot of us did not have single track skills or even bikes that were good for single track. We walked. Nobody got hurt. It was fun. It was muddy.
It was an adventure.
But I can't do single track. I don't have single track skills.
So depending on who you talk to, you know, the the people who want the extra gnarliness really enjoyed it. The people that weren't expecting it, they had difficulties and they expressed their feelings about it. So we took all that feedback and we tried to find a route this year that will make as many people happy as possible.
Right.
So that being said, you could really get by with just about any bike. We're going to say, 32 and above on a tire choice.
That's always a good selection. Yeah.
And obviously avoid, hybrids and cross bikes. But you can do this on a hardtail mountain bike with some relatively thin tires.
My cross bike has a 32 on it. And so does, Fran's gravel grinder actually, I think, has 38s on it. And yours is pretty wide. They're pretty wide on your bike. But yours is specifically more of a gravel grinder. Mine's definitely a cross bike. But that's what I've been running since the early days of cross when we rode on stupid narrow tires. I am now riding on, for the most part, I'm riding on a set of clinchers, which are 32C. And I don't race anymore, so I don't have any fancy racing tubular cross tires. But anyway, it's a 32C tire you can go almost anywhere with in my book. But then again, some of us have different skills.
I personally like the 40Cs. Whatever
Do
fits,
you?
Whatever fits on your frame is right for me.
Yeah, so you have 40Cs on your bike?
I run a 40C, but there's plenty of people out there with 38s, 36s. So on down the line, a little tread's going to help you in a couple parts, but pretty much anything's going to get you by.
Yeah. What kind of tire pressure do you run in your tires?
Well, that's a very personal question there, Ron.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step into those bounds.
depending on your weight, you're gonna have a range. I like to run around 40 on a 40C tire. It gives me a little cushion, still can roll.
Yeah, that seems fine.
Some of the lighter riders might go down into the 28 range, and some people might go up to the 50 range, but make sure you read your manufacturer's recommendations.
Yeah, 28's pretty light. I mean, I know people who, that the reason why they race cross with tubulars is because they're running like 28 pounds in their tires, and you bottom out a lot when you do that. And of course, if you're riding a clincher, you're going to bottom out, you're going to pinch. And if you're riding on a tubular, you don't pinch when you bottom out because there's no edge. But 28 is also a lot of work because it's a pretty soft tire.
Yeah.
So you're working a little bit harder than you normally would. I like 40 pounds. I think 40 pounds on a rear tire is great. I will run close to that, but maybe a little bit lighter, but it all depends, like you said, on the size of the person on the bike and skills and all that too. There's skill levels that are involved and what you can and cannot do.
Well, we definitely recommend a tubeless setup for those that know what they're doing with it. It's going to prevent you from having too many pinch flats out there. But
sure,
in the event that you do have a pinch flat, there's a couple of sag cars out there. Give you a hand.
You're going to be driving one of those?
I am.
Yeah.
That's my role.
Is that your official duty of the ride?
I build the route, and then I make sure people make it through the route.
Oh, so you're responsible for building the route.
Yeah, I can take the blame or the credit, whatever the case may be.
Oh, you can't please everyone is what it comes down to. I mean, I'm the route designer for the Steeplechase Bike Tour, and I always get comments. One of the comments I got this year, we got some feedback, and someone had done the 100-mile ride, and they said, could have done without the dirt roads. It's like, those roads are almost paved. They're so perfect, and could have done without the dirt roads. So, like I said, you can't please everyone. We were at a Farm to Fork Fondo up in Vermont about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And there were some dirt roads up there, which there often are on these because they're in farmlands. And we had a woman that came back, and she was very disappointed and very angry, and had actually turned around and ridden back because she was not going to ride on a dirt road. So this is not for that person.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
it's pretty much up front. This is a gravel grind. This is a dirt road ride.
We make every effort to give people the best expectations so that they can choose for themselves. What happens when you show up is what happens. So,
right.
You know, some people said, you know, this is not what I was expecting. I don't think I'd do it again. Some people said, this was really hard. Don't change anything. And,
right.
And then there's the people, you know, in between. So we capture the best we can, you know.
Exactly. And it could be worse. It could be like, do you know Salem Mazaway?
Sure do.
And you know about the detour then?
I do.
Yeah. The detour is challenging beyond challenging because not only is it a lot of dirt roads and dirt areas that you're riding on, but it also is very long, if I remember correctly. It's a really long ride. And that's kind of an unadvertised, you know, if you know Salem or somebody, then you're invited to that ride. And it's it has some epic nature to it.
Well, what Jill and I tried to do this year is get out and visit some of the other larger events that happen in the area.
Oh, really?
Try to get a feel for what other people are doing, other organizers are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, events like the Greasy Joe's out in Rhode Island and, you know, in the spring. And then the Muddy Onion up in Vermont, which rained. It seemed like every event we signed up for poured rain all spring long.
Oh, great. So, gravel and rain. You know,
they
lovely.
Dubbed me the golf. I'm a member of like 5 or 6 bike clubs and 2 of them in other homes of mine. So my mom lives in southwestern Florida. And so I'm a member of the Gulf Coast Velo. And I rode a metric, and Tampa is the lightning capital of the country, at least, maybe the world, but definitely the country. And I was going to finish that metric. I stopped to help somebody, so now it's Lantern Rouge, but I was going to finish that metric. So I wound up riding in downpour for a good probably 10 miles this year. Mount Wachusett. I went to the Charles River Wheelers Mount Wachusett climb. I spent a good 10, 20 miles in downpour. Steeplechase Bicycle Tour this year.
I spent
from Franklin to Pomfret, 30 miles, downpour. And I just kept riding. I mean, the Gulf Coast Velo said that I am officially dubbed the Rain Czar.
I rode home in the rain last year from the steeplechase. And, it poured as soon as
that's
it finished
right.
up. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. But we were called off the course last year from the steeplechase.
I would say this year the benchmark, though, is the Rasputitsa up in Burke. We went up there expecting.
Really?
Some,
wow. You're up in the great North Country there. You're up in. Yeah.
That's a serious event. 900 people at the start.
Really? No kidding.
Forecasted 42 degrees. It ended up being about 28 and snowing.
Whoa!
No. So now, that's in the Northeast Kingdom, right?
Yeah. It's where Kingdom Trails is.
Right.
Town.
So are they using some of the trails for that?
No, it's all dirt roads.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Different flavor up there. They can get away with some things and the rest stops that we can't get away with.
I'm curious. What do you mean at the rest stops? Anything you
one
can
of the
talk
rest
about
stops
or
is a full bar, we'll say.
A full bar.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, I don't know how that would go over down here, but up there there's not so much oversight, I guess.
Well, I have to say
it's Vermont.
The Farm to Fork Fondos, you know, if the if the rest stop is a cidery or a brewery, you get samples.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that.
And I did have CBD. Well, but it's just CBD. There's no THC, it's just CBD.
Right.
At the rest stops.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they actually have distillers who are part of that, too. You get little samples.
Distillers and brewers.
Yeah,
and
distillers
cider.
And brewers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cideries. So, you know.
Well, this year, in years past, we had the generic rest stops. You know, we placed them wherever we thought the mileage would be right.
Mm-hmm.
Threw the typical stuff on the table, the watermelons, the bananas, and all.
And Nurek Earth has a thing for candy, always has.
Yeah. Well, last year we experimented with maple syrup, which seems to be a big thing.
Totally.
With Ted King and the Cannondale crew.
Absolutely.
Oh, nice.
And we have a maple syrup producer right next to our start venue.
Oh, wonderful.
Literally connected to the field, and it's called River's Edge. maple syrup.
Yes, on Route 89,
yep.
right?
And
yeah.
Are you still starting at the park in Ashford?
Park,
yes.
Right. It's the same Pompey place.
Hollow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that went over well. If you haven't tried using maple syrup as a nutritional
sure.
add-on to your plan, then you should definitely give it a try.
I keep forgetting to do it. And meanwhile, Farm to Fork Fondo, depending on the time of year, you know, you have rest stop. They'll have, there's rest stops that are farms that are maple syrup producers, and you get
right.
maple syrup shots. For
right.
sure.
Yep. Everybody yep. loved them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great idea.
So this
nice.
Year, we're trying to step up the game a little with the rest stops. One of the charity that we donate proceeds to is it's called Our Companions. It's an animal mm-hmm. sanctuary up in
Eastford,
in on the Eastford Ashford line.
Yeah,
right.
And
yeah.
You know, it's like a residential program for dogs and cats that need to find homes.
Yeah.
And they're on the route.
They're one of the rest stops.
They
are
that's
not?
Right.
First rest stop. They have a nice pavilion. They have great volunteers from the organization.
Nice.
You know, they put out some candy, some not candy things. I'm hoping maybe they'll bring a couple of the candidates out there to visit this year.
Oh,
aww.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
What a good idea
yeah.
that would be. Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, if we can help some of those animals find a home or
sure.
just get some money in there to help them. And then we encourage anyone to make, you know, personal donations or stop by, drop off things. You know, food and toys and all that stuff. They're happy to take anything they can.
Yeah.
So after you leave there, we're headed out to Woodstock. And in Woodstock, there's a little roadside stand called Sweet Evelina's.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right by
yep.
the post office.
Sure.
And
right
they
on
also have
corner
one.
Of Joy Road and,
yep.
and 169. Yeah.
Most
yep.
cyclists have been there.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah, that's kind of a go-to.
Well, there's a nice pavilion there, too.
Yes.
You know, we don't know what the weather's going to be, so we're planning ahead.
That's good because you have it's under right.
a
canopy.
You got like
yeah.
a canopy
so
of some sort.
Yeah.
Yep.
They were very generous in allowing us to use that location. Plus, they you know, they offer their own food and refreshments and anything.
Cider donuts.
Yep. Oh, cider donuts, pizza, ice cream, whatever you're hankering
Coke.
For at the time you get there.
Yeah.
And then this morning I just got some good news from our third rest stop. At Frog Rock, which
ice cream.
Rock. Yep, Frog Rock is a longtime Route 44 roadside stand that's come back to life recently.
Well, it used to be a state-like picnic area
right.
years ago, and yeah. the reason it's Frog Rock is because there's a rock that looks like a frog.
Frog.
Big,
yeah.
And he's frowning
yeah.
for some reason. He's Aww. Not a happy frog.
Not a happy frog,
no.
huh?
But, you know, they also are a little food vendor there. And depending on the time of day people are passing through, there's supposed to be a live band playing then. And
oh, no
oh,
kidding.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it depends on the time you're passing through.
So you're going to use some of the dirt roads to go through the Natchog Forest, aren't you?
Well, I had high hopes for the Natchog Forest until they started logging
recently.
But
no.
We have a clear path through. We were going to do a few other things, but the forester has quelled some of those plans. So you're going to go through the Natchog Forest to see a little bit of the rail trail, but not too much to get bored about. And then we'll bring it back into town.
Yep.
Have a little refreshment on the top of Tower Hill Road, which is you know, the one last hurdle to get back into Ashford.
Right.
Yep.
So you're going to be using the extension road then, the dirt roads back there off of Tower Hill.
Right.
I'm just trying to remember the name of the road, and I can't think of it. There's a couple of them, actually. There's one that's off of Ashford Road, or is that what it is, Ashford Road? I don't know. It was on the first one I did 2 years ago, I think, and it was a little – it's great up until a point. You go around a corner by a farm, and then it gets, like, pretty dicey.
We're not going to be on that section. We're going to be on the part that cuts through from Tower
Bebbington Road, Road Extension.
Bebbington.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That one's in good shape.
Right.
That road's in pretty good shape. Yeah, I like that road a lot.
Yeah,
I like that road. That's a nice road.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're going to have some classics.
So you have a 40-mile route as well, right?
Yes. You know, we debated on whether or not we could support two routes this year based on, you know, our available people we had to help support us.
Mm-hmm.
So at first we thought we could better support one ride.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of feedback that came in and asking for a shorter route, You know, people that wanted to come out in family groups or, you know, just weren't up for that long of a ride.
I've got
66, one of them.
Yeah. Oh, I've got 66 miles in me. I do not have 66 miles of gravel. Last year, the ride was difficult because of the single track, because I have no single track skills. So I wound up walking a lot. So am I to understand I'm not going to walk as much this year?
I think there's one spot where you might consider walking through the Natchog Forest just to cut through. But other than that.
Oh, is that that little section that's off of 44 that you cut over to get onto the dirt road?
I'm trying to think of the name of the road.
You see, that road used to come out on Route 44. That dirt road that all those Natchog Forest roads used to come out. There was one road that it would come out right on 44, right across from Frog Rock. But they blocked it all off a number of years ago.
We're going to go in that way.
Good.
Across from Frog Rock.
Yeah.
And then...
Is it a little rough right there?
No, it's not too
or
bad.
Or is it okay?
But that's Fayette Road. And
yes.
Fayette Road. Really, yep. That's the longest stretch of continuous gravel that you'll be on both courses.
I don't mind gravel. I mind single track. Single track, I don't have the skills.
I'm on a
gravel grinder bike.
We need to ride more off-road. We really do.
That's all right.
That would help. It would. You know, as the weather starts to deteriorate and it gets colder, we can just go out and you can ride on your gravel grinder.
I hear that there's this great gravel grinder on September 7th. You want to do that one?
Yeah. Then there's that. Right.
So
definitely.
We've named the ride this year the Ashford Adventure Ride. That
yes.
way, that
okay.
way there's a lot of latitude on the definition of the
sure.
ride.
Yes.
So, you know, our idea was originally to keep changing it every year. Mm-hmm. But I think over time we're going to end up with a ride that everyone's satisfied with, and that's
sure.
probably what we'll stick with.
Yeah.
And then maybe the name will change. But for now, we're gonna call it the Ashford Adventure Ride.
So on the 40-mile ride, which rest stops do you get to go to?
You're going to still do our companions.
Yes, of course.
And you're going to do Frog Rock.
Awesome.
And then
that's
the
great.
Water stop, that's about 10 miles.
Great. All right, I'm in.
Yep.
And if I have to walk a little, I'll walk a little. So what'll happen? I'll walk.
Yeah, you'll get some more off of that for sure.
Yeah.
Because I'm on Bike Ridge right now. I'm looking at your numbers here, and I'm just looking to see. So what are you expecting as far as numbers go? Do you have an idea?
Well, it's hard to say. Last year, we ended up with about, including day of registrations, we had about 140 people show up, which was
very good.
Pretty, you know, well beyond our expectations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
wow.
You know, we experienced a big surge in the last week, so we're hoping
it's
for that surge again.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the statistics, we're not really that far off from where we were last year.
Well, you know, we'll promote it on the Thread City end here and see if we can get some people to show up, because you guys have always been really good about supporting us. We should definitely put a push in on this, because
yep.
it would be a good thing. Because I would personally like to lead, you know, make the Saturday morning ride this.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Well, I may anyway, but that's okay.
You shouldn't. I mean, you can't, because it's not what the club expects.
Yeah. Eric and Donna are signed up for the 40.
Yeah, great.
By the way. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm looking at, we got like, I see names here that are definitely from our club.
Right.
So they're definitely in here.
Well, I think
Todd Holland's coming down. Cool.
It's
Hi,
been
Todd.
Important for the club and also... We have to mention Store Center Cycle, who is the only Yukon bike shop, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's it up here. Yeah, I mean, there's another shop down in Willimantic, but yeah, they're the one that's up here and closest to campus.
So yep. Aaron over there has you know, generously supported us for a couple years now with tech support at the event. And both he and the club have supported a lot of the other events that go on around here. So I think it's important
yep.
that, you know, we've supported the Steeplechase and the TCC Centuries and a couple of the other events, the Tour of Mansfield that goes on. So,
right.
You know, it's a community of people.
Yeah. Store Center Cycle also, Aaron and Adam were at the Steeplechase this year. They were the mechanical support for the Steeplechase for the first time, which was really, really nice of them to do that.
Yeah, we've been giving Adam quite a workout this year. He's
yeah.
He works and then he races and then he works and he races and he rides home and rides to work. So he's busy.
That's okay. That's yeah. okay. He's young. He can handle it. And he's fast, so, you know, it'll wear him down a little bit.
Doesn't seem to matter what bike he's on. He's fast.
No, it doesn't seem to matter at all.
The other thing of note that we really should say is how you navigate this ride. It's not, we're not setting up as a typical, you know, there's 100 signs out there on the road to follow. The trend is definitely towards self-navigation in a lot of these events. Some people are tech savvy and have Garmins and Wahoos and iPhones and Android things that they know how to use.
Yeah.
So there will be GPX files,
right.
TCX files,
right.
Fit files, all these different things that fit your device.
I'm going to run Ride with GPS.
Ride with GPS is where I built the course.
Right.
And I've tried Map My Ride and Strava, and frankly,
Ride with GPS seems to be the one. I use it a lot.
Yeah. It's great. I used it at the last two Farm to Fork Fondos. Hayes said you should really run the
Ride with. They've improved. I'll tell you, when they first came out, they were like, it was okay, but
now they're much better.
Yeah,
I have the version where it talks to you, like your screen can be off, and it'll tell you in 1/4 mile, make a right. It's great.
Yeah, they've really left Strava behind on the routing, route building.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And, you know, years ago when I was first using it, they'd tell you to take a left when you're supposed to take a right. So I used to go in and actually edit the cue sheets because then it would read correctly. But
it actually has a function now that lets you review the entire course, and it will let you correct it if it's wrong. Because sometimes you place a pin and it makes you turn a little to the right before you want to turn left.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So they've realized that not everybody is perfect. And
they've done a great job. I'm a big believer in it. And, you know, all my rides that I have in there are public, open to the public. So if you go into Ride with GPS and just type in Pedal and Ron, you'll find lots of rides that I've designed. And so are these files going to be public, or are they going to be just for the event?
We plan to make them public a couple of days before the event. That way, you know, if we're putting out information this early and it changes because of chip seals or road closures or logging, you know, we don't want people to have their hands on bad information. But once the event happens, we'll leave it as public information and people can go out and ride it on their own. Maybe they couldn't make the event this weekend. They want to go do it later in the year.
Well, that's nice.
Well, the other thing is when you ride a ride, Ride with GPS records your ride, and now you rode it, and it's one of the rides in Ride with GPS.
Right, and then it becomes, you can put it into your file.
Yeah.
You can do that, too. Yeah. That's another way of doing it. Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, I mean, it sounds like you guys have really outdone yourselves again, which is great.
I hope so.
Great. Yeah, I just think your club is very good. They support cycling. Everyone in the club seems very nice. And, you know, you give back to the sport, which is all I can ask for. That's one of my big gripes is that, you know, people that get really involved in a sport and then never give anything back to it. And Near Eck Earth has always been just a fabulous club for that. So that's cool. That's totally cool. So neither you nor Jill are riding it, I take it?
Jill keeps trying to find an angle to get out on her bike. you know, she asks, if I finish registration, maybe I can still link up. So you might see her out there. She's very chatty. She'll talk to everybody.
Oh, I know she is.
She's got 4 or 5 different bikes to choose from. So whichever one gets her caught up fastest, you might see her.
And which route is Susie doing?
Well, we get the questions about Susie every so often because that's the Facebook page. But Susie's our dog.
So which route is she
doing? The unofficial mascot. I think Susie's going to be staying at home. she does like the car, but I think throwing some strangers into the car with her, she might.
She's not going to help staff the animal companions rest stop.
No.
Ah.
But hopefully some of the other ones will come out. They have a pretty jubilant three-legged dog over there who just won't quit. So hopefully
really?
Get to see him.
Boy, that's the whole reason to go. I mean, you've got it. I mean, even if you're doing the 40, you get 2 great rest stops. You get the animal companions where you get to pet the dogs and get candy. And then you have Frog Hollow and you get to get ice cream.
Yeah. Well, there might be some other surprises on the way.
Cool.
On our pre-rides, we've come across quite a menagerie of animals.
You know, in your notes that you sent over to me, you put on here goats/cows.
Yeah.
And so explain goats slash cows.
There's a nice dirt road up in Eastford that's it's got an animal farm, and they've got pigs,
nice
pigs and goats and sheep out in this wooded pasture. And I was passing through there on one of the rides, and this big goofy goat came running up like a dog and
awesome
wanted his head pet and everything. He was real.
Was
real
he
friendly.
White?
No, he was brown.
Okay.
But he's on the Instagram pages. Okay. He's got some big ears and goofy face. And then on another pre-ride, there was a baby bull running down the road up in, must have been Pomfret.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was separated from his mom, but he was on the wrong side of the fence. And there's a picture of him on the Instagram page, too. So between horses and goats and deer and dogs, and you're going to have quite some scenery out there.
I'm used to this. It'd be just like another
nice
Farm to Fork Fondo.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I mean, we ride around on these roads a lot. We just avoid a lot of the dirt roads when we're out riding because I'm generally leading a ride where I get grumbling when I take them down a dirt road. So, I mean, you know, Nagy Road. Are you going to be on Nagy Road this year? Not doing Nagy Road?
Nope.
Oh, I love Nagy Road.
We've got some real new stuff. It's all new.
New stuff.
New
oh,
stuff.
I'm excited. I want to do this now. I definitely want to do this.
I think if you're not from Woodstock, you probably don't know some of these roads.
But you're going to have to do it with me, and you're going to have to ride with me.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I'm not as skilled as you.
Yeah. Let me just position my calendar so that I have that day clear, and we'll do it for sure. I know a bunch of the dirt roads up in Woodstock because, and there are some classics up there, and I know them because I lived in Abington for about a year and a half, and I would just start ride my bike up towards Woodstock and through Pomfret and Woodstock, and there's a whole bunch of dirt roads up there. So I'm excited to see what you got out there. I'll bet I've seen a few of them.
I think a lot of people are going to be pleasantly surprised.
Some great stuff. There's just really some great stuff. There's roads, even ones that are right off of major state roads like 171, and there's these dirt roads that just pop out. And great stuff, just awesome stuff. And I'm trying to think, there was an old ski area up there. Did you remember ever? You ever remember? What was the name of that place? And it was off of a dirt road that went through Woodstock, and I just can't think of the name of it. It was had a rope tow. You know, it was
before
back
my time,
long, long time ago. I've been in the area for a long time. So anyway, there's just some great stuff up in Woodstock. You're right; it's a good spot. It's definitely a really, really good spot. I'll have to do a shout out to a couple of friends of mine. They just moved they were living in Willington, and they just moved to, I looked for him on the list, but he's not on the list. They moved to Woodstock, but they're literally 4 miles from Southbridge, Mass. So they're really, really close. And then there's all those roads that go through Bigelow Hollow. And oh my God, have you been on those? I'll bet you have.
Yeah, I've explored those. Those are more mountain bike riding.
They're a little more mountain bikey. Yeah. I mean, I do it. I've done those roads on my cross bike and haven't had any trouble. But then again, I got a skill level that's probably a little higher than some people do on skinny tires.
Jill and I actually made it through that Bigelow Hollow road and out into Sturbridge on our cross bikes.
Did you? Yeah. Right over by Breakneck Pond, by the ledges.
That's very technical.
That is really tough.
It's really tough. If you're up for it.
Well, I got lost up there one day, and I bumped into a bunch of guys on motorcycles, and I said, "Hey, I'm trying to get my back over to Bigelow Hollow." And they said, "Well, you're like 10 miles away." And I said, "Well, where am I?" They said, "You're in Southbridge, Massachusetts." And I went, "Okay." I said, "I'm trying to get around the other side of Breakneck Pond, and I seem to have made a wrong turn." And they goes, "Oh, you'll never get through there on that." And, of course, you know what that means, right? That means, oh, yeah, watch me. So I did, but it was deep. I mean, it was ugly, nasty, and it was definitely difficult. It's funny because someone just sent me a Facebook one of these things that was years ago, that it, memory or whatever. And it was a video that my friend Ray had taken off of his bike. And we were riding on the Airline Trail North before it was improved. And it had some epic spots on it, too, that were, you know, I remember basically being, you know, 4 or 5 inches deep in mud, you know, down to the hard pack, wherever I could find it with my cross bike. And I'm just riding my cross bike. And these guys were... I eventually, he's got a lovely, lovely video of me getting through this whole thing and then just not having enough to get keep it going forward and then tipping over. But I was riding through things that they're looking at me and like shaking their heads and go, how do you do that on that bike? It's like, it's a cross bike. You can do anything on a cross bike.
They've been doing a lot of work on that stretch between Pomfret and Putnam.
Oh, have you seen that?
It, yeah.
Yeah, they're putting a water sewer line in from Pomfret Center, from the schools up in Pomfret. Apparently, they decided that they needed to have a real sewer system instead of a very large septic tank. So that's part of that project, is that they're putting those lines in, and then to when they get done, they're putting stone dust down, and we're going to have the finish of from Pomfret Station into Putnam. And there's going to be 5 bridges going in on that project. One of them that's going to go over and span over 169 right at Pomfret Station, which
really?
Is great, because that is a really dangerous crossing right there, because people come really fast around that corner. So it's hard to get through there anyway. And you can't get much further north on that anyway, because it gets a little
right.
It gets a little dicey up there. But that's gonna. I can't wait until that opens up. And that will be a... Basically from Pomfret Station down to Putnam, it will be downhill. It'll be a slight downhill going there. But there's, you know, 3 or 4 other road crossings, I think, that they have. So there's going to be tunnels and all sorts of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait.
You get bored on the rail trail after a while without...
I agree.
...some features to keep
it
exciting.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing is, if you're ever riding north on the rail trail, we're going to have to wrap this up, north on the rail trail from... Thompson and heading up towards basically towards Massachusetts, Rhode Island, the corner, there's a little side trail that you can go off and you can see the pin that is Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. It's about 0.6 of a mile or so off the trail. That's kind of cool. So, hey, we did it. We just talked about this and that's it, and we're there. So anyway, my guest today has been Mike Nugent from the NERAC Earth Cycling Club, and I thank you very much for being here, Mike, talking about the Ashford Gravel Grinder, which is coming up in 2 weeks, week and a half. So mark this one on your calendar. This one's important. This is a great ride. You're going to learn a lot about northeastern Connecticut that you probably didn't know if you do ride a bike on the roads up here. If you don't ride a bike on the roads up here, it's just welcome to the real northeastern Connecticut. It's just, this is such a gift up here. And so anyway, the NERAC Earth Cycling Club is putting this on, and they have been putting this on. This is the third year on this, correct?
Third year on dirt, 13th year overall.
Nice. Really, really nice. So anyway, please come out and support the ride. It's great. You'll find registration is open on Bike Reg for this, so you can find it on Bike Reg and sign up there. Would love to see you out there. I believe that I will be there with Fran, so we'll be out there participating in this, which is really cool. And anyway, this is an important event, so please come out and support it. This is a great club. They do really good things for cycling, do good things for the community. NERAC Earth is outstanding. So please support them.
What does NERAC stand for?
New England Research Application Center.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right? And Application Center. I think that's the A.
They have a long history.
They have a long history. Yes. I'll talk to you about that when we're off air. But anyway, coming up really soon, tonight, Rocky Hill Cyclocross Series begins tonight. It's the training races out in Rocky Hill. You can find them on Bike Reg once again, or at nebra.us on the New England Bicycle Racing website. So, yeah, it's cross season. Here we go. The CCAP Ostercross Training Series. Yeah, this is that one actually was yesterday, so we got to move on from that one. I have to take that one off my calendar. But there's lots of stuff coming up in cyclocross. Go to bikereg.com, and you will find all sorts of great cyclocross coming up and gravel grinders too. So good riding this time of year. Great riding coming up. And again, Fran and I are off to yet another Farm to Fork Fondo at the, when are we heading out to the next one? It's in September,
it's
right?
It's September 15th.
Yeah, we're going to go down to Virginia for that one.
Yes, Middletown, Virginia. And we're going to see our friends Kevin and Alice. I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. I know. We got to bring a nice bottle of wine.
Yes.
Their doormat says, I hope you brought wine.
Yeah.
So, and they are strong cycling advocates, and
he's an instructor for the League of American
instructor
Cyclists.
For the league, yeah,
yep.
And they have a house in
Middletown,
uh-huh. Virginia, and it is a bike in bed. What they call it. So
yeah,
if you ride a bicycle and you're looking for an Airbnb, that's the place to go.
No breakfast. Just bike in bed.
There's breakfast right around the corner. You just walk down the street and there's a little breakfast spot. So yeah. So it's good. So if you're ever looking, if you guys are ever looking to go down there, Kevin will take you out on some awesome rides. He just, you know, he's a bike guy. So anyway, that's where we're headed. But in the meantime, I got to wrap this up. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast, you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to more and past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, or better yet, be on the show as a guest, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.